to the Rockman Show. It's time for Rockman to give his opinions, his views, and his thoughts on life and rock. So grab a beer, buckle in, and get ready to rock!
Think of that. That was Eva, Under Fire. I don't know how you can get under fire. I guess if you're getting fired at, you can like duck and get under the fire. But is it like a fire like in a house? And maybe you're ducking out. I don't know. You got a two-story house. The up story is up. It's on fire. Oh, I'm being stupid. Welcome to the Ragman Show. That was I Will Fight, again, by Eva, Under Fire. I don't know who this band is. They kind of fell into my YouTube thing where just I was like, who is this, you know? And I found this song, and it's actually pretty good. I dug it. I hope you guys dug it. I did a little research on the band. They're from Detroit, Michigan. They've been around since 2015, so about 11 years. Not bad. They've got a new record coming out called Villainous, and I saw that Maria Brink from In This Moment guest on this new song called Villainous. I tell you what, let's do a double shot of Eva Under Fire, and then I'll be back. Villainous. What'd you think of that? I dug it, man. I like what this band's doing. The first song kind of had more of a, I don't know, it's a heavy, you know, kind of song with the, you know, the melodies and stuff like that, the chick vocals and stuff like that. But this new one has kind of more of the modern edge of some bands like In This Moment. If you compare them to like a male band, and well, actually some all male band with a female singer, but kind of that vein of, God, like I Prevail or something like that. Really melodic, good vocals, stuff like that. So I was a fan of In This Moment until I saw them live. God, they were horrible. I mean, they put out some amazing music several years ago. I don't even follow them anymore. And this would be an interesting question for you guys out there. Have you ever seen a band that's so bad live that you never want to go see them again, and you kind of check out, even though you love their music? I've done that a few times. The one of most recent memories is In This Moment show from probably about 4 years ago. I believe it was Black Veil Brides opened up, and they killed. And then In This Moment came out, and we're just not good. Maria Brink was so like involved with costume changes, like she was Madonna or something. I don't know what was going on with her. And then they were doing instrumentals, and I think they did a cover. And I'm like, dude, at this stage of your career, you solidified as an artist. You've got your own tunes. You have great tunes. Why do you need to do a cover live? You know, if you're playing an hour and a half, I don't need to hear a cover. And don't get me wrong, I'm going to get on somebody else, a very more established band. I checked out their set list, and I was really pissed to hear that they're doing a cover live. Before I do that, I tell you, let's listen to some classic in this moment. Let's do it. So I mentioned, I teased you that there was a band I'm going to be seeing, a band that's been around for a very long time. It just got back together. I think it's been 30 years or more since they played together live. And I'm looking so forward to it. The ticket prices are pretty up there in price. You know, I mentioned that. So cat's out of the bag. It's Triumph. Yeah, Triumph. So it was gonna be one of those things where I was like, you know what, I kind of want to be surprised. I know most of their catalog. There may be a song or two, maybe some deep cuts I'm not real familiar with off the first couple records, but I know a lot of Triumph. But I was curious. I'm like, you know, what are they gonna sing? And then I found out Mike Levine's only playing in select shows because he's got health issues. I really thought when this thing was first going to take off, and maybe I should have read the news better, I thought it was going to be the original guys, the three guys. And then, you know, you're going to have Phil Lex kind of help out. And I guess they've got another drummer to help Gilmore out. So I guess Gilmore has issues. I've heard in interviews in the past, part of the reason he didn't want to do a full-on reunion like they're doing now is he didn't want a tour. I thought he just didn't want a tour. I didn't know he had health issues, and I don't know if he does, but I'm assuming if he's got another drummer up there, he just can't do it. And I get it. These guys are in their 70s, and it's a lot more challenging now on the body, especially a drummer. And a vocalist like Rick Emmett. That's why he's got Phil Lex out there helping him on the backing vocals and stuff. But I don't know. I'm sure it's going to be a great show. I'm really looking forward to it, but they're playing Rocky Mountain Way. I don't want to hear that. There's no reason you should be playing a cover. I don't know if, I can't remember if they ever recorded it. They might have, but they have so many great songs in their catalog. I don't need to hear a cover. You know, and, you know, I love Mr. Big, but when I saw them on their final tour, they were doing covers, and I'm like, fuck, enough with the covers. I don't want to hear that. You're going away. Like this Triumph show, it's the last time I'll ever see them. They come back next year, I'm not going to go. Unless they blow me away. I mean, never say never. I do want to talk about a show I saw here recently. But I tell you what, let's play some classic Triumph. Let's do it. We'll be right back. I'm thirsty, Mr. G. Again, people, you're lucky. I'm traveling and John's not here. Wasn't in the budget. So I tell you what, I've got a good one tonight. I'm very excited. This is from one of my... I'm traveling. I didn't tell you where. I'm in Canada. And believe it or not, I went through a 60-degree temperature change yesterday. I went from like 80-something to 20-something. So tell you what, let's get into this. And I went to one of my favorite breweries here in Calgary called The Establishment. This one's called The Chronic. It's a West Coast IPA. Pouring this bad boy out. Looks beautiful over there. Let's see if they show me it says strong beer, 6.8 ABV. So the can's kind of boring. I mean, their labels all look the same. You really got to read the name to see what the hell you're drinking. So anyway, let's take an aroma check. Oh, wow. This fucker stank. I love it. The appearance of the beer is nice and clear. A little bit of sudsy lacing, kind of hugging the glass there. Not a lot of head, but a little bit. All right, cheers to me. Oh, wow, that's nice. So dank, just like I was hoping it would be. Clean, crisp, some citrus notes. One more drink. Oh, that's solid. That's solid. I would say John hit the horns, but he's not here again, so I will hit them. All right, so real quick, it's funny, I say these never say never things like, oh, I'm never going to do that again, I'm not going to see this band again. So I went to the 40th anniversary of Halloween with my buddy Lee, drove up to Dallas, made a little roadie up there, went to one of my favorite breweries up there, Celestial, had a couple pints, and then headed over to meet Lee, and just got blown away by Halloween. Holy cow. They were so amazing live. The banter between Michael Kiske and Andy Daris was just amazing, man. And then you got Kai Hansen over there killing it. Holy cow. You basically have three vocalists on stage. Because Kai sang in the very, very early days of Halloween. But just an amazing show. If you get a chance to catch it, I know they're doing limited dates in the States. I was lucky enough to catch it, and man, they killed. So I tell you what, let's do one of my favorite new songs from them. This one's called This Is Tokyo.
To an end. Tokyo.
All right, guys, short show tonight. Just wanted to kind of give you a little intro before the band I talked to. The band I talked to this week is a band called Anna, and I played them on the show a couple weeks back. I played a song called Hate Me, and I was like, holy shit, man. This song is really, really killer. And the video was pretty wild. You've got this hot chick in this like bathing suit and a snake, and you're like, okay, what's the gimmick? And then you hear her singing, and you're like, oh my God, she's very talented. And then so's the rest of the band. They've got a kind of stage presence and everything, and just kind of kill it. I would love to see them live. I'm looking forward to it. If they ever make it to the States, that would be so awesome. But I tell you what, real quick, we haven't done this in a couple weeks. So let's go and get into our Shazam.
Shazam!
Yeah, we hadn't done that in a bit. I'm looking at my last Shazam. And I gotta tell you, I don't remember anything about this song. It's apparently a guy named Alex Warren. And the song's called Ordinary. So I tell you what, let's check it out together. Let's see if I knew what I was doing.
Shazam!
They say the holy water's watered down, and this town's lost its faith. Our colors will fade eventually, so if our time is running out, day after day, we'll make the mundane a masterpiece. Oh my, oh my love. I take one look at you, you're taking me out of the ordinary. I want you laying me down to the dead and buried.
Okay, I hit the record scratch on that and play something heavy. Holy cow, what was I thinking? I don't know, man. You get in those moods sometimes. You listen to a song and you're like, oh, man, I dig that. Like if you're kind of bummed out or something, or just in a mood where you're kind of chilling and something kind of mellow like that comes on and you're like, oh, it's so cool. But then when you go back and listen, you're like, what the fuck was I thinking? Yeah. I have no idea. I'm trying to wonder. I think I was with the Metal Munchkin and she asked me to, oh my God, no, I know what that was. I was with my girl and she's like, hey, can you tell me who sings this song? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And then I pulled it up. Oh my God, I just had a brain fart. I figured it out. So anyway, that wasn't on me, people. So we'll play one of my Shazams on the next show. But anyway, short show tonight, for me at least, because I got a great interview for you. Great band out of Australia called Anna. Hope you guys dig it. Before I let you go, I want to thank you for listening every week. I want to thank you for your comments when you send them. I'm going to give you one big holds up.
Hey, this is Josh Mack from Anna.
And this is Cody Lamb from Anna.
And you are listening to The Ragman Show.
Horns up.
Live, and I'm not going to say Bono Wee Bono because there's two guys staring at me right now. There was a woman that was going to be here, and she saw my face, and she said, "I'm getting the fuck out of here. I'm not talking to this weird bastard." But I'm talking to some guys from down under. I mean, really underneath where I am in Texas. They're in Australia, Melbourne, Australia, and I just discovered these guys, and they fucking rock. They're really great. I'm talking to Josh and Cody from Anna. Guys, welcome to the Ragman Show.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely, thank you.
I didn't know you were from Texas. I love Texas.
Yeah. Hey, you got to come here one of these days.
Absolutely, we'll want to.
Barbecue and guns. Say less.
Yeah, there's a lot of that here. I can guarantee it. Well, hey, guys, I'm kind of curious. I just discovered you guys, so I've done my homework today. But one thing I couldn't find on you is I don't know if you're all native Australian or it's a mix. Anna, and I've seen her last name. She sounds like she could be Eastern European. Josh, you're Asian. Cody, I don't know if you're Australian, but it looks like I don't know if you guys all live there or live in different areas of the world or how's it work with Anna?
It's a complex answer. The vast majority of us, like, by citizenship, we are Australian, but we all have different backgrounds. Cody's probably the most Australian of the band.
Yeah. I think I'm like literally the only like fully Australian. Born, yeah. Yeah. Born, raised, yeah. Everything.
So I was born in Singapore, but I've lived here for over 20 years now. Anna was born in Russia and she lives here now as well. Our drummer Andres is from Colombia, but he lives here. And our keyboardist, Mark, is from Singapore and still lives in Singapore.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Well, I thought it was kind of interesting because a lot of the bands today, everything's through the internet. So I don't know. I guess one of my first questions to you is, how do you guys write music? Is it you all get in a room? If you're all in the same, I guess, at least city, can you get together and jam? Or how does it work within Anna?
We do stuff in a room together. We find that's really important. What happens is we have very limited time together. So I think it's a positive because it makes us like extra conscious of how we spend our time when we are together. For example, with this recent album, Mark flew in from Singapore and we booked the rehearsal studio for 2 days. And we said at the end of 2 days, and they're like 5-hour sessions each day, we got to have an album. So oh, that's wow. not, yeah, it's pressure, but then
it was good pressure.
Yeah, there's no time to second guess yourself. You know, we have to make really quick decisions on, yep, that's good, that's it. And then we can go away and, you know, kind of tinkle. What is this, tinkle the word?
And close enough. Like, yes. Like sit there and like add like our own little like touches, like little bits of details here and there. As long as we have like the skeleton of each of the songs, we're good. And then, yeah, just go off and.
Well, remarkably, what you hear on the album is, I would say, like 75-80% exact to what happened in those sessions.
Pretty close to that, actually, yeah.
That's awesome. How long has the band been together?
The band has been together for about 2.5 years. We started, I think our first show was 2023, July.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And then you put out an EP that year. Was that on your own or were you already signed to Eclipse at that point?
The EP was released through Eclipse. We just put out a single on our own, and it was at that point that Eclipse, we got in touch with them, and they only heard a single from us and they took a chance on us.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. How would you best describe your sound? I would say it's symphonic, but there's also kind of a hard rock element to it. It's and then a technical element to it as well. There's a lot going on, and that's what drew me to the band.
It's this has always come up a lot from the beginning.
Absolutely.
I don't like to have to pick a sound because our band is so diverse in terms of all five members don't really share any favorite bands.
Oh, interesting. So
yeah, you wouldn't see any of us at the same concert, willingly.
Yeah.
Well, Cody's wearing a Wasp shirt, so.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, I like Wasp, but he loves Wasp.
Yeah.
Got I don't you. Like him enough to go to the concert, but he'd be there.
Absolutely, so. As fun as I could be.
And it's funny, like at the start, Eclipse said, so what subgenre are you? And I said, I don't know. And he went, can we call you symphonic? And I said, well, not really, because if you say symphonic, people have a certain stereotypical idea of what that is. And I don't really think that's what we are, but initially that's what we were marketed as, because you have to pick something. And when we did the album, I said, look, I'm going to make up a name just so that it simultaneously clears the confusion and causes more confusion. So we just...
Awesome.
And, oh, it's couture metal.
Yeah, done.
Yeah.
And I read that and I didn't even know what couture was. So it's like a fashion metal or something
yeah.
like that.
Something
What's
like
wrong
that.
With it? Yeah.
And you know what's interesting, when I read the press release regarding, you know, symphonic metal, you know, I don't really gravitate to a lot of symphonic metal. I'll be totally honest with you. The video came up on my feed on YouTube for Hate Me. And I see this really pretty girl with a snake on her. I'm like, okay, what's that? It's probably cheesy. It's not going to be good. And I'm like, oh, shit, the song's really good. Really good. And then I listened again. I'm like, every time I hear it, it gets stuck in my head. I don't want to jump to the new record yet because I want to talk. But that was kind of the visual aspect of what grabbed me. And I think a lot of people, from what I've seen, we got so many views. I guess we will talk about this real quick before we jump to the new record. You know, was that your guys' thought? Let's put this video out there that's going to capture people's eye. We're going to be wearing what we're wearing. We got the mask on. We got the red suits. And then we got this pretty girl. Can she sing, or is she just like this girl that can't do anything, but she's pretty and she's got a snake on her? But she could. Her voice is spectacular. Very, very talented. Everybody in the band's very talented. But I was like, wow, it blew me away.
Look, if you read the lyrics of Hate Me, the whole idea of the song is to provoke controversy. So we did know when we did the video, the way we chose our costumes and all of that, that was the intentionality behind it. What we were surprised by was how the public reacted in such a way that it almost confirmed what the lyrics were.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. And it was a much bigger reaction than we expected.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Was Anna scared shitless with that snake around her neck or no?
Not at the start. Like, going into it, she thought she would was really confident. Like, I'm not scared of snakes. Like, she grew up in the village, you know, they've been around snakes and that sort of thing. But then when it was actually placed on her, snakes don't cooperate. Yeah. Like,
it started not like a dog.
Yeah. Like a the snake kind of wants to do what it wants to do. So you're trying to make it work to the camera and that doesn't work. You actually have to let the snake do its thing and everybody else accommodate the snake. So it took about 15 minutes to work that out. Then they got along.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Good.
But it was touching.
Oh, I bet it was. I tell you what, the brand new record is Motivated by Death. Comes out on May 29th on Eclipse Records. Your first full length. Congratulations. Before we jump into that, I wanted to talk a little bit about the ET, The Art of Letting Go. You know, for the folks out there that have The Art of Letting Go, what do they expect different with Motivated by Death?
I think it's clearly still Anna, you know, the band, but it's a much more refined Anna as well. We've spent, you know, since we did the EP, we did two international tours, we played many shows together, and all of that comes through on the record. I think you get a more experienced band, everyone's more confident, and we're also more, like, realized in what our sound is, who we are. It's made up of all the individual components, like, the bass lines that Cody puts down are so uniquely Cody. You know, I guess I like to think that my guitar lines are so uniquely me and Anna's vocals. And somehow these five different things that have nothing in common have found a way to play together.
Oh, nice. Nice. Well, I will say this. This is my observation. Not hearing the whole EP, but seeing videos online and so forth. It seemed like the EP, those songs were a lot more synthy. The mix was more synth-oriented. And I think this, the brand new record, has more of a heavier sound. A little bit more guitar-driven. The synths are still there, which I like it, but I'm a more of a guitar guy, and I think some of the riffs that you're writing, Josh, have really caught my ear. And Cody, what you're doing on the bass. There's some songs that start off with the bass. I'm like, oh, dude, that's really cool. Like, again, we'll go back to Hate Me. Like, you have the intro, it gets heavy, and then you just have that cool bass line when she starts a verse. I love that.
Thank you so much. I love it. It's a fun one to play, but yeah. Sounds
cool. Well, something else I want to mention about Hate Me, and then I want to jump into a couple more songs, is I love how there's so many twists and turns in that song. It's like it starts heavy, then it slows down. You have this big chorus, goes back to the verse, and then you have the guitar solo, and then you kind of almost do this technical thing towards the end. I love it. I mean, it's like I love to keep guessing while I'm listening to a song, as long as it's done well, and you guys do it well.
Thanks so much, yeah. But it was definitely fun, like, thinking, like, as we were writing that song, like, just on the spot coming up with the structure, like, oh, what if we throw this part into it next, or, oh, I want to start with that this riff. Like, Josh had like what the chorus idea and that fast guitar riff after the intro, and then we just sort of ran with it.
Your bass line was really you playing it a little wrong.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, like every we roughed out like that intro bit and everything, and then up until like where the verse kicks in, and we played that, stopped. I kept on going, and our drummer at the time of making that song saw that and joined back in. And Josh is just sitting there going, "Keep going, keep going, keep going," and just sat back watching. Like, that's it. We'll do that. Done.
That's awesome how that magic just kind of happens in front of your eyes. And, you know, one of your other members can hear that and like, oh, shit, this is gold. This is the way we got to go. That's awesome that you guys have an ear for that, for sure.
I mean, Hate Me is, I could probably talk for a long time about the nerdy music theory aspects of Hate Me. Where kind of, apart from Mark, the keyboard player, like he actually understands the theory. Cody and I have no clue, but... Like I know a little bit of it, but I'll say stuff that makes it sound like I know what I'm talking about, but I really don't. So we kind of wanted to play like musically with Hate Me, and rather than stick to a more conventional Western style music, we took a lot of inspiration from Eastern stuff, like Japanese scales, some Middle Eastern scales, and we are not, obviously, we're not that familiar with them. You know, we're not as fluent with them as if we were using traditional Western scales. So that was fun in the sense that we have less notes that we know what to do with. So we're going to try to see what we can come up with it.
Oh, that's cool. Well, I like there's that one part where Mark kind of throws in that Eastern, it sounds almost like, it's not a sitar, but it's a kind of this Asian thing going on. I don't know how to really explain it, but... If you hear the song, you know what I mean. Cody's shaking his head yes the whole time.
It's a Japanese shamisen.
Okay. Nice. Well, I tell you what, I want to jump into another song. And this is, I'll tell you, I love Hate Me, but Falling to the Wind. What a great song. The chorus is amazing. Anna's voice, she's hitting some notes at the end of that song that just blow me away. The riffs, Josh, the riff, the guitar riff, they were so awesome. I really like your solo in that song as well. So tell me a little bit about Following the Wind.
Following the Wind was the last song that we wrote in the session, and it was the most difficult one because, see, normally when we go into a session like this, Anna and I will have already worked out at least the skeleton of it. So, you know, like a chord progression. Or a riff, like there's something, right? We're Following the Wind, we had zero. It took the longest because we kind of sat there in the studio staring at each other. Anybody got a riff?
Yeah. Like there was one idea Anna wanted to try go for. We tried it out, like an intro verse sort of like
wasn't working, yeah.
And you could sort of like feel it in the room that we're like, if we're trying, but we're not coming up with anything for it. So then that just got scrapped completely. And the new one came about with a riff were trying to make me to play. And I couldn't play
it. Again, yes. Yeah. It was you playing a riff that I had wrong that became...
Yeah, because I couldn't like comfortably do... Oh, you were trying to like hammer on stuff on the guitar and everything. And like, I know I can do that on guitar as a guitarist and everything, but on bass, it didn't feel comfortable. So I'm like, in my head, I'm like, hey, stop. I'll start again. And I just switched around. Okay, instead of trying to hammer on, I'll try and pull off. And then that's how that intro to the song came about. And then we just sort of used that style of riff for the verse, like slightly alter it up. But like that was, once we had that intro down, I feel like everything just became Yeah. But it took quite a while to get to that stage, definitely.
You say quite a while, but it was like 2 hours.
It was. Yeah. 5 hour session, it was quite a while. It definitely felt like a long time.
Well, I bet. And congratulations, the song's great. Josh, how about your guitar? What kind of guitars do you play? Again, I love your tone, especially in the solos.
Thank you. I play Ormsby guitars. They're... Australian brand that I endorse. and they make amazing instruments. Like, that's probably a large part of the tone. You see them on the wall back there. And
yeah, I've seen the bee. I like that, the shark fin. Awesome.
Yeah. Have you seen the new one?
I think I saw something online about the new one. Yeah, that looked really cool too. Yeah,
they built some crazy shit. It hasn't really been out for shows yet. I've only played it once, so people get to see more of that. My sound is really... there's the sound that I would like to have, and there's the sound I can afford to have.
Yeah, I get that.
So, like, what you hear on record is, you know, me trying to get a compromise, really. And it's mostly Nessa Boogie Mark 5 or Mark 2C Plus amps. Yep, and live, sometimes I've been told it's wrong, but I just like the sound of it, and I run an amp simulator into an actual amp.
Oh, nice.
So it's an amp going into an amp. But I like the sound of it, so.
That works.
Yeah, but I've had engineers go like, oh, that's not right. I went, yeah, but that's the sound I want, so.
Yeah. Hey.
Keep going.
Yeah, it works. Your fans like it, and I'm a fan, so you're doing something right. Don't listen to the engineer. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Nothing's blown up yet.
Yeah, that's a good thing. We need you guys on One Piece so you can play more dates and create more great music.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Another song I wanted to bring up, and I like this. It's really cool. It was the Aerials, the cover of the System of a Down song. And I like it better than the original. I'm just saying, I was never a big System of a Down fan. And I'm like, oh, shit, I really like this. In Anna's vocals, again, Anna, I give her a lot of credit. The woman's got an amazing voice. Whose idea was it to cover that song? Is it somebody in the band that's like, that's one of my favorite songs, let's do it? And I love that it's not just a carbon copy. You guys made it your own.
In the early days, you know, we didn't have enough originals to fill a set. You know, if we had to play an hour, we had maybe 30 minutes worth of originals. So we had to start putting covers in to fill up the gaps. And my thing was, I don't like picking covers that are similar to what we do. So I think choosing System of a Down, apart from it being a great song, it's the furthest thing you can get from who we are.
Yeah.
And, you know, as a result, you come up with a really new interpretation of it that makes it interesting.
No, I love that too. If a band's out there, they do a carbon copy or I call it a karaoke version, I get bored. I just skip. I was like, I'd rather just listen to the original. You know, you're just trying to mock them. If you make it your own and change it up, like some of these bands that are like making metalized versions of disco songs like the Bee Gees and stuff like that, or Madonna. Oh, I love it. I think pop tunes, if you take a pop tune and make it heavy, oh, I think those are... because a lot of the songs are great. You just don't like them because they're so syrupy and candy-filled. You want something with some balls to it. You know what I mean? So, no, I love what you guys did with that. It's very cool. Another song in your second single that came out today, dropped today, video drops in, well, you guys are in Australia, so you're a day ahead of me. So, hold on, let me count my fingers. In 3 days, your time, 4 days, my time. You got Shadow of Life, another great song. I did want to ask you about the intro with the talking. Who is that? What is that from? And just a great up-tempo melodic rocker. It's very cool, big chorus. And again, I'm going to compliment you on your solo. I think that's my favorite solo on the record.
I'm always by your side.
it's up there as one of mine as well.
Very nice. Man.
Okay, so that opening narration, that's actually my brother Aaron.
Oh, really?
He did the narration. Yeah, we got him to do it. Initially, I wanted to just take it straight from the film it came from, but then we thought we might get in trouble, even though it's a very, very old film.
Yeah.
So it's a film, I think it's called The Tingler.
I think that's what you said.
Yeah. It stars Vincent Price, you know, that old horror guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think it's like from the 20s or 30s or something. And yeah, there's a line from that film where he says that. So when we get in trouble with the audio from the film, we got my brother to record it and we tried to, you know, fuck with it till it sort of sounded like that. Oh.
No, it's very cool. Very cool. So tell me a little bit about the song, Shadow of Life. Another great track.
Shadow of Life is, see, with this, Anna came to me before we wrote the album and she said, I want the album to be called Motivated by Death. And it came about because she said, like, one day she just had this sudden realization that I'm going to die one day. Or like we all are, right? And it kind of, if you think about that, it makes you consider, what are you going to do with your time? And we also don't know when we're going to die. And that's kind of what the album is largely inspired by. It's the concept of death, but not in a morbid way. Kind of, you know, you make peace with it. And once you realize that it's an inevitable thing that's going to happen, how do you then spend the time you have? So Shadow of Life is looking at death not as this like evil, menacing force, but it's really just a reflection of life side by side. And if you look at the lyrics, it talks about, it's just a way of saying, like, seize the day, if you lyrically. Nice.
So as far as lyric writing, is that all Anna, or does everybody, or just you and Anna write the lyrics, or does everybody kind of get involved, or?
It's mostly me and Anna. So Anna usually would come up with an idea of what the song she would like it to be about. She might have phrases, because her first language is Russian, so sometimes she'll even write her notes in Russian and translate it. And then she gives me a melody and she goes, make it fit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's quite difficult.
Yeah.
Sorry. And it depends. Sometimes there's some songs where I've got a lyrical idea, but I will still get Anna to lay a melody down first. Because in the past, I tried writing lyrics to a melody. That's how I was used to doing it. The problem was I'd write it in my voice tone and it wouldn't really work. So even if I had an idea, I'll go, can you give me a melody first? And then I'll fit words into it. So there'll be some songs like Eyes of a Child was related to the comic book that we have. So I wanted to expand on the comic lore with that song.
Oh, nice. Well, my question was, with Anna being Russian, it sounds like she speaks good English and stuff like that. But my girlfriend, she's Vietnamese. So there are things that she speaks very good English, but there's things that she writes, it doesn't translate to, she'll ask her sons, what's this mean? So does she have that challenge when she's writing lyrics? Like, I wrote this in Russian, this is what I want to say, but I don't know how to say it in English. Do y'all get into that sort of thing or no?
Just for you.
Yeah.
She tries to write in her language.
Yeah.
And then how you can just make it fit in English, because you have to translate what she's saying.
And like without and losing the meaning of
losing the meaning
wants,
and also make it fit into the melody.
That is some of my challenges that nobody sees.
Yeah.
I bet.
Oh yeah.
No, it's great though, because it just English is kind of the universal language. Everybody's got their language from the different countries and stuff, but some words just don't jive when they translate. So, for you to be able to pick that out, it's like, oh, this is what you mean. Let me make it rhyme, or we have to twist it a little bit so at least it fits. Where you're not saying like it doesn't make any sense. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. It gets more intricate than that, because sometimes it rhymes and I've written it and it makes sense in English, but Anna might say, don't like this vowel because I want to go for this big note and you put an A there when I need an O. So that's a different challenge. Okay. Yeah. We need to change. Sometimes you can change one word. Sometimes you have to redo the whole verse.
The whole phrase, yeah.
Well, let me ask you about the comic book angle. And I found this kind of fascinating because there's a band called Death Dealer. I don't know if you've heard of them. I got in for Sean Peck. He's with a band called Cage. And he does comics. They're like kind of a power metal thrash band thing. But he said, I make more money selling comics and doing comics than I do making music. But you guys have Signation Comics, you and your brother. And so were you doing that prior to starting the band? And then second question is, if so, did you start the band and said, you know what, we could do a comic with all of us and make these cool stories and maybe you expand a little bit of that on the music lyrically and stuff going down the line? That's a lot to ingest. Or digest, not ingest, digest. Here, look at me. I'm English and I can't even talk. But what are your, I'm just kind of curious how you brought the angle of the comic in with the music.
Okay, so Signation Comics started with my other title called Gods Among Men. So when we started Anna, Gods Among Men was in production. So for issue one, we weren't finished yet. We were kind of halfway through. So when we were shooting the first music video for Moth, my brother directed that and we were in costume and the lights were there and it looked really cool. And he said, you guys look like comic characters. Wouldn't it be cool if you guys had a comic? And we didn't have any merch at that time. You know, we didn't have CDs or T-shirts because it's not that we couldn't do it, but I just felt they were too costly and I didn't see, like from a business perspective, it didn't make sense to me. You know, how much you spend making them. And a lot of bands have this issue. You get stuck with a lot of stock that doesn't move. And I didn't want that to happen because that's largely where you make your income from as a band. So if you get that wrong, you fuck yourself.
Yeah.
So when he talked about this comic thing, I said, that's a great idea, but I don't want this to be a gimmick. You know, I don't want it to be something that fans of bands will buy only. I want it to be a great comic that anybody, whether you're a fan of the band or not, wants to get into it. So we first, same with Gods Among Men, before we embark on a comic title, we need to know where it's going, like how it's going to end. And then we can fill in the gaps of how we get to the end. To me, that's the most important thing. So once we came up with the story, we said, okay, let's pause Gods Among Men and let's do a 6-page comic for Anna as like a trailer teaser thing. And we made 150 of those, which sold out in, what was it, like 3 months? Or
something about 3 months time.
And then we made another 150 and they sold out.
Like, oh, that's awesome. Away. Congratulations.
Yeah. And then we said, okay, we need to make a full issue. In that meantime, we had put out the other comic that did really well too. And I think in about a year, it sold about over 1,000 copies. Title.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome.
Which I went, this is so much better than music.
Well, real quick, you guys got a tour starting in Asia in May. You're going to be, I guess, the middle band on the tour with a Japanese all-girl power metal band. How did, do you guys go to Asia much? Or, and a second to that, how do you have any issues when you get over there, communication? And because I looked up the band, their name escapes me at the moment, but they were all singing in Japanese. So is there any kind of language barrier or how does that work?
Japan for the first time last year and it was so good. Of all the countries we've been to, Japan just like wholeheartedly loved what we did from the get-go.
Straight away, yeah.
And we said, look, we got to come back. And when the opportunity came where we could do a few shows, most of the shows we're doing on our own. I think 3 of the shows we're doing together with Fate Gear. So that seemed like a great opportunity to be able to, you know, do these shows together with them. And we decided to throw in some other show. Singapore, Bangkok, and South Korea came up just like less than a month ago.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, when you get over there, super cheap to jump around from country to country too. So, and everything seems so close too, for the most part.
Yeah.
Well, guys, before I let you go today, what do you want to tell the fans out there?
Why don't you put me on the spot first? <'Cause> honestly, like, besides just the general, just huge thanks. Like, the amount of support, even just for Hate Me in general, is the first single from this debut full-length album, has been absolutely amazing. Yes, all the, as we expected, the hateful, negative internet type of comments, but there's a lot of good things people have said about it. And I've honestly just been a lot of surprise of like how well it's been received. And I honestly just really hope it keeps going up and up and up from the second single and the album, and just more, please, more love. Thank you.
Awesome. I'm similar to Cody. Like, I'm really appreciative of how well the songs have been received, even the hate that they've received, because I think as a creator, if you can provoke a reaction from someone, whether it's good or bad, it's a reaction. The worst thing you can have is someone not reacting to you.
Yeah.
So like, I appreciate all the comments, good and bad. And we're really just getting started. I can't wait for everyone to hear the rest of the album. And Anna issue 2, the comic will be released later this year as well. So a lot of things happening. And this is Andre's first tour with us.
Oh yeah.
Awesome. Awesome.
Got a lot of
the fun. Newbie. The newbie, break it in.
It'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm so stoked as well because everything is going very fast and really good things lately. So jealous because I wish I could have recorded everything with the band before. But yeah, so it is what it is, and I'm so proud to play all the music what the last drummer wrote. So much respect for him. So very happy.
It's going to be good.
That's awesome. Well, guys, I want to tell you to go out on May 29th when Eclipse Records issues Motivated by Death by Anna. This band's going places. I know it. They're rocking. The songs are great. And the more you hear it, the more you're going to love, I promise you. And I'm going to promote the hell out of them whenever I can. As I can play more music, I will. But guys, before we let the fans go tonight, we're going to do something very special.